Welcome to episode 564 of the MTG Goldfish Podcast. I'm Seth, probably better known as Saffron Olive, and we have the full crew here this week, kicking things off with the owner of MTG Goldfish, Richard. How's it going this fine Monday, Richard?
Good morning, Seth. Doing well. Last podcast on the road, then I get to return to normal time. Yeah. I'm so excited.
Yeah, the middle of the night podcasting, I imagine, would get a little old after a while. But and we have another co-hosted, Krim. Good morning, Krim. How are you doing today?
Good morning. Pretty much, I'm having a great morning, actually. I had a good fantasy football win, and the Broncos won, so like... Yeah, By the way,
how does that keep happening, Krim? I don't understand how that keeps happening.
I'm not complaining. I will always be very happy about it. Shutting down a 2-point thing is like always nice because I didn't think that was going to happen. And I'm just happy to turn my 0-5 fantasy football team, aka Buff Man Auto Battler, into a 7-6 team.
Wow, the comeback is on.
We're so in. My Buff Man Auto Battler team is going
Buff
crazy.
You know what? I never thought, but he's right. Fantasy football's just an auto battler.
It is, basically, dude. Yes. It is. For those that don't care about sports, fantasy and anything is just a spreadsheet simulator. That's really all it is.
It pretty much is. Anyway, today, we're going to be jumping around a bit. We have a bunch of little topics to get through. We got weird secret lair news, buy a box promo news, some limited news about Avatar Worlds is coming up this weekend, some new promos, some standard stuff. So we're going to be all over the place. But before we get into all that, a reminder that today's show is brought to you by Card Conduit, and Card Conduit's the easiest way to sell your Magic cards. If you ever get tired of the hassles of buy listing, you can skip in with Card Conduit. You can use your curated service via sending as many cards as you want with a buy list value of $1 or more and pay just a 5% service fee. And if you want to do a bit of work, you can use your sorted service where you list and sort your cards in advance and pay just a 2% fee. Either way, you're going to get a detailed report with the results and a fast payment once your order is processed. And you can even get another 10% off by heading over to cardconduit.com/mtgoldfish. Card Conduit, it's the easiest way to sell your Magic cards. Today's show's also brought to you by Heavy Play Advanced Gaming Equipment. The ETB playmat features a unique folding design, allowing you to fit it in a standard laptop bag. It's available in a wide variety of colors and also with original art. EquipMags lets you snap all your gear onto the playmat to move between rounds. Not that you're going to need it, because you're going to be sitting at table one all night. So head over to heavyplay.com/mtgoldfish or use the code MTGOldfish at checkout to save 10%. So thank you to our sponsors for supporting the show. And let's talk some magic. And let's start with what I think is the most interesting news of the week, because this is something that has literally never happened before, as far as I can tell, in Magic's history, which is this week, Wizards posted an article titled Back to the Drawing Board with Secret Lair X Monster Hunter. So I think last week we were talking about the Monster Hunter Secret Lair drop. Krim, I know you were talking about some of the issues with the drop, how you kind of liked it in some ways, but there were things that definitely could have been better with some of the character selection and not really fitting the flavor. And it sounds like Wizards listened to that, because this article basically said, We're delaying the entire drop. We're going back to the drawing board. We're going to start over, do the entire thing again, and we'll let you know more about it in 2026. What do you guys make of this? Is this Wizards actually just listening to community feedback and being like, wow, these people, you know, the community really didn't like this lair drop. We can make it better for them. Or could something else be going on with this situation?
I personally do not. Okay, so there's speculation that, like, this is Capcom stepping in, saying that, hey, we've seen the community response and the typo, and we want it redone. And look, I don't care which one of these two are doing it and which one's at the helm of this. All I care about is that I think Monster Hunter deserves more love and the respect as a franchise that it is. And if this is what that means, I am so damn happy. If it means that Capcom has to step in to make it so that, hey, we want this redone, or I don't care which way it's done. I just think Monster Hunter is such a deep franchise and needs the love. And now I'm happy that it gets it. This is such a big thing, because I didn't think they could do this. I didn't think they would do this. So this is awesome.
It should make the lair drops better. Richard, what do you think? Is this just the goodness of their hearts trying to make their cards a little bit better for all the lovely Magic players out there?
No. We've had so many trash secret layers. There's no quality standard, right? It's definitely Capcom was not happy about it. and Wizards is doing something to fix it. And my guess is there's more Capcom secret lairs down the pipe, such that Wizards is
Resident
like,
Evil?
You know, throwing it all in to fix it, right? But it's, to me, it's a sad day. Like, I don't like giving in to the internet mob like this. Like, it's okay. People get mad. You release mediocre lairs all the time. Like, why? Where was the uproar for the arcane secret lair? Remember that travesty? Remember how hyped we were when we heard about it? And then we saw that. You know, it's like, whatever. The Office, you know, whatever. You know, there's all kinds of, like, mediocre secret lairs. The typo, I'm sure it could have been fixed, right? Like, you know, that was just a spoiler image. When they go to print, they'll fix it for reals, right? But I don't know, man. Like, we have so many bad secret lairs. Someone should just put a tier list ranking of, like, bad flavor secret lairs. And I'm sure, like, Monster Hunter is not at the bottom of that. So Capcom just got squirrely, you know? And then Wizards listened, right? Like, that's totally it, right?
No. Monster Hunter 1 is bad, dude. Like, I think it is really bad flavor-wise. Like,
but for sure, before sense. Wizards even previewed it, they showed it to Capcom. And Capcom was like, yeah, bro, great. Right? And then they released it. They're like, oh, what are all these, like, terrible Reddit comments? Pull it, right? Like, for sure that happened, right? So that's just Capcom knee-jerking to the very vocal Magic the Gathering community. Which, you know, Wizards has dealt with this forever. They don't just ignore them, right? Just point to our marketing data that no one has ever seen and we'll call it good, right? I mean,
I think it's gotta be Capcom, because I kinda agree with Richard that we've had some pretty lackluster secret lairs, and we've had some pretty big freakouts about secret lairs. Like, if it really was Wizards, just there was so much pushback from the community that they're gonna actually redo the entire thing. I would have to think something like the Walking Dead secret lair drop, like that's a secret lair drop that got the most pushback that I can remember from the community. So it's hard for me to see Wizards actually just changing course because of bad community feedback. It is good that they did change course, and I'm excited for all the Monster Hunter fans out there that now I expect these to be like the greatest secret lair drops of all time, because Wizards can't risk failing again.
we're gonna get like Black Lotus,
Ancient Gold Dragon, and it's just gonna be like, not literally Black Lotus, but it's gonna be just like all the valuable cards, all like the best possible, because they already messed it up once. On the other end, it's pretty embarrassing to be like, we love Monster Hunter, we're huge fans of the show, and make secret lair drops so bad that you have to do them all over again. Because this was like 2 days.
You can't admit failure. You punt and just keep playing.
But that's good. It's a good thing to admit failure,
you
right?
You double down on the punt, guys.
No, you never double down on that. Come on.
I think it is a good thing, although I do worry that this sends the message that if you complain enough about secret lair drops, you can make them better. So I think we might be in for even more complaining about secret lair drops, because this does very much say it'll work, right? If you yell at us enough and tell us we're bad enough at making these secret lair drops, guess what? Maybe we'll put better cards in them next time. So I do worry a little bit about the messaging part of it.
I think it also comes from the fact that I think they expect Magic players to always complain, but when it's the Monster Hunter fans that are complaining, that's when it's like probably more of a thing, right? Because it's like, if the whole point of this is to be bring in the Monster Hunter fans, they're like, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, then that's kind of rough, right? And on top of that, I wonder, okay, what are the odds of this now? We know they're going back to redraw it, right? What are the odds that we get mechanically unique cards?
I think it's possible. That seems possible. You think so, Richard?
I think so. I hope they don't reuse the art, because that will be embarrassing. They got to get new art, which seems weird.
But the art was so good.
But they got to juice it up somehow, right? And it's got to be mechanically unique so people can't complain about reprint value and stuff. It's like, oh, it's a brand new card, you know? Even though it sucks, it could be worth anything, right? So I think they're going to juice it just so they don't have egg on their face twice. Like, they can't risk that, right? So they got to juice it up a little.
You got to make sure it's good this time.
I like that personally, because, and the reason why, to elaborate, is because I made a comment last week's podcast about, like, you know, the PlayStation drops, right? And I'm comparing to this, and my issue with, like, how PlayStation got what they got is because PlayStation got a bunch of mechanically unique cards, and here's another video game franchise that I think is, that is deserving of mechanically unique cards as well. So hopefully they go back and give us real Monster Hunter cards. I don't care about the art. I like the art.
Yeah, I think the art, like, seemed like it was well-received. People didn't really like how it matched the cards all the time. I was talking to people on social media about this, and I came away from it feeling like making secret lair drops that make everyone happy is kind of impossible, because half the people were like, the problem with the secret lair drop is all the cards suck. They put all these 25-cent cards in there, and there's no value in there. And then the other half of the people were like, these cards don't match up with Monster Hunter characters. Like, Dual Blade Hunter, why is that a Grand Abolisher? It should be something with Double Strike. And I'm like, you can't do both, right? Like, you could make Dual Blade Hunter something with Double Strike, but then it's probably not going to be worth 10 bucks like Grand Abolisher, and you're going to have another 25-cent card that people are complaining about the value. Or you can print a $10 card like Grand Abolisher, but it doesn't match the flavor well enough. So it actually seems really difficult to, like, take other IPs and put them onto existing Magic cards, which I guess is maybe another vote for just making unique cards, because then you can make the flavor however you want. It can match as perfectly as you want. So I imagine that's probably the direction they go. I wouldn't be surprised if they reuse the art, but I do expect that they're probably going to make at least some unique cards. And then some of the monsters are like, are they dragons, Krim? I didn't play Monster Hunter. Some of them look pretty dragon-y to me. Like, if you took whatever.
Arathalos is a dragon, right? Yeah. So you, like, yeah.
So if you took some of those, like Arathalos, and instead of being Dracuseth, had it be Ancient Gold Dragon or something, no one's going to be complaining, right? Because you're getting a $70 card in your lair drop. So I think they might do some like that, too. No, I see.
I don't know why. It's the same flavor. You just want the money. if it was Psych Rift, you know, if it was Ancient Copper Dragon, people wouldn't complain as much, right?
But yeah.
Were the complaints actually that bad, though? Like, I wasn't, like, super into the online discourse. Most people were just kind of like, you know, it's not doing it for me, you know? But it wasn't, like, Spider-Man level complaints, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like, oh my goodness, like, look at all this bad feedback. It was just like, I'm a Monster Hunter fan, and it's kind of meh, and like, you know, like, it seemed pretty mild to me for Capcom to have such a, like, huge reaction to it. So, like, was there, like, more feedback that I wasn't aware of, or...
Spider-Man fans, like, liked Spider-Man, though. Like, comic book fans, real, like, actual comic book fans enjoyed Spider-Man, right? But then Monster Hunter fans did not.
You're going
like
by internet mobs.
Yeah, but like, internet mob, it's like, okay, everyone's always mad, right? Like, that everybody wants a reason to be mad. But Monster Hunter fans were also mad about this. So now you just have everybody's mad. There's no good card selection, and it's not even flavorful. So, like, it kind of just seemed like an entire miss all around.
And maybe that's the difference, is maybe it was the Monster Hunter fans. I didn't go to, like, the Monster Hunter Reddit to see what their community was saying. From the Magic community, it just seemed like meh to me. Like, yeah, it wasn't a great secret lair drop, but I think there's so many lair drops. And after, like, the Lord of the Rings drop with, like, 3 20-cent uncommons in it or whatever, like, I've come to grips with the fact that not all of them are going to have great cards in them. That's kind of like the whole gimmick of secret lair drops. But if it was Monster Hunter fans that were upset, maybe that was what got through to Wizards, or probably
to Capcom,
Wizards,
right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I imagine it's hard for me to see Wizards doing this without Capcom telling them, like, come on, guys, you gotta improve this. And the spelling error, if that was on the printing card, I could see that actually being a pretty big deal with Capcom, because, like, doing a crossover and then misspelling one of the other IPs, like, was it a location? I think it was, like,
a city
or something.
Yeah, it's a very location from the first game.
Yeah, and just, like, straight up misspelling the name is, like, that is kind of bad, right?
Yeah, and they didn't even, like, so imagine, like, how chocobos, imagine if they made Final Fantasy and there were no chocobos. Okay, mm-hmm. So I'm sure the Final Fantasy fans would be very upset, and that is what Palicos
are. Wait, what do they want? The cat people?
Yeah, the Palicos. They are like a staple of that. If it's not that, it's a Rathalos, specifically the big red dragon. Obviously, there's different variations of Rathali. I don't know what the plural of this is, but Rathalos. And, like, so I think they just really missed the mark, and they didn't represent the classes. I'm just happy they're doing
now,
it.
Now I need to, like, find the Office subreddit and see if there's complaints about how, why is Dwight Kenrith? Yeah. They kind of missed the mark. Like, you know, like I don't know, man. We don't put the scrutiny on anything else. It's just whoever owns the Office doesn't care about anything. They don't read the Reddit threads. So they're like, yeah, whatever. Right? Yeah. Whereas Capcom, like, is actually reading it. But if most IP readers or holders read the comments, everyone would be outraged. Because Magic players love complaining about everything, right? And there's always the nitpicky people in fandoms that complain about everything. So, I don't know. This sets a very interesting precedent going forward, right? Because now when you partner with, I don't know, Paramount or whatever, and they're like, look, the reception, their CatCom was not good, and you guys redid the lair. I expect you to redo our lair when the reception is bad as well, right? And then they'll pull up the metrics. Here is like 8,000 Reddit threads of people saying it's mid, right? So it's just bad precedent, I think, right? Like, I don't know. We'll see how Magic handles this, because it goes against Chris Cox's thing of, like, we can get any IP holder we want, right? It sounded like they had all the power. But now they're just, like, bending the knee to CatCom, like, immediately, right? So I'm like, ugh, this, right?
It makes me think that there must be, like you said earlier, more to their relationship, right? And there's more lair drops or even full sets maybe for something in the future that they're working on. So they care about, like, maintaining that relationship. I imagine if it was a one-off, maybe they'd be more likely to be like, eh, you know, whatever. Sorry, CatCom, you're going to have to deal with it. So it makes me think, I don't know if it's going to be, what, Street Fighter? We already got a lair drop of Street Fighter.
We already have Street Fighter.
Like,
Seth, thank you. Please put that into the ether. Let it be Resident Evil. Oh my god. I would lose my patties.
You just had Duskmourne. It's too soon.
Mega Man?
It should have been
Capcom,
with Duskmourne.
Right?
Oh, I was so mad.
Anyway, let's move on. Actually, one last question, then let's move on. Any chance that this leads to a full set of Monster Hunter? Because that's the other thing I've heard people say is this is so, like, such a big world that it could do a full set. Is there any way this reworking ends up with, like, oh, in 2027, instead of the secret lair drop, we're going to give you a full set, or 2028, we're going to give you a full set of Monster Hunter?
This is such an easy, like, set. Like, right there, like, so many things within itself. Like, you could get real fancy with equipments. You could make it so the equipment checks what it's equipped to represent. Like, you have the enchantments for classes. You have all the different monsters. You could just have all the spells and things be mechanics of a fight. Oh, man. Come on. This is easy. Like, honestly, like, you could design without even thinking about it. Like, this would be, like, 200, like, 20 cards.
Wow.
I think this is an easy 220 cards.
Remember the last time we worked something from a small set to a larger set?
Ooh,
Spider-Man,
yeah.
Right? Now we're going to take a secret lair drop and turn it into a full, like, please, like, 5 years down the line, okay, but, like, don't rework one to appease CatCom and have, like, the most terrible thing you've ever seen, right?
I do not want a secret lair to become, like, oh, well, actually, secret lair, let's just turn these five cards into a set. No. I want a full set designed. Let me state that again. A full set designed, top down, every way possible to be Monster Hunter. Not some random,
not
let's
big
bump
enough,
it up no. from a value booster into a set.
I didn't know it was a thing.
Isn't it more Japanese leaning? Like, what is Monster Hunter in 2025? Like, back in the day, it was like more of a Japanese following, right? And it was more niche over here.
Well,
has it changed? Are we more global now?
Monster Hunter Wilds, like, was popping off at launch. Now, obviously, it's getting memed on now by, like, its poor performance on computers, because it's, like, super suboptimal, because it's, like, blows up your computer if you try to play it. But when you actually ignore that, and if you can play the game, oh my god, it's so good. I think it is a very good game. And same with Rise and World and all of that. So, and you have now Monster Hunter splitting into Monster Hunter Stories. 1, 2, and 3 is on its way out. So you get a little bit of the JRPG side. You get the cool, fun, just boss battle, like, you know, grind sim where you just sit for years with friends getting armor. Like, there's a lot of fun. And I think that Wilds' sales at launch shows that there's demand in the West.
Well, let's keep moving. Let's keep moving on. Let us know what you think about the Monster Hunter stuff in the comments. What are you hoping they do with it now? But anyway, speaking of Wizards taking things away, they announced this week that the BioBox promotional cards going away with Lorwyn Equips. This is the last BioBox promo. We've had BioBox promos for a while now, and there's been ups and downs. Sometimes they're Nexus of Fate, and it goes really poorly. Sometimes they're just random, like, reprints, and it's fine. What do you guys think of this? Like, does this matter? And is it necessary? Like, I'm not sure if I think that BioBox promos really matter that much, but it does kind of feel a little bad because it's just, like, taking something away on top of, like, increasing prices with Lorwyn Eclipse and getting rid of, like, that weird sample collector booster pack and commander precons with Lorwyn Eclipse. Now we're also getting rid of BioBox promos. What do you guys think of that? Good change, bad change? Does anyone care?
First off, I as someone who buys mostly singles, I don't really ever get to partake in getting the buy box from outside of just buying it itself, right?
Yeah.
But even with that in mind, I think this is why. Why are you taking this away? This makes zero sense. You've already gone down packs, and now you're going down the buy box promo. This makes no sense why you would remove this. And on top of that, I'm going to just take this quick second. Did you know they're taking away, like, the pre-release stamped cards? Like, that's going away. And I'm like, wait, I already didn't like that we went to just the 2025, the year approach. I like the time, date, month. Like, I really enjoyed that stamp from pre-releases. So while we're here, why did that go away? Those all should come back. Leave the buy a box promo. So
pre-release has to go. It's such a waste of time to put a stamp of, like, nothingness. Right?
No.
And then it's like, okay, every card has like 8,000 versions because of the stupid pre-release stamp and then the Planeswalker stamp thing. They're all the same card. It's the same art. It's just a little thing. It's for like the tryhards that need to bling out an uncommon, right? And there's like no, there's no like baller uncommon card. So they got to go get the pre-release stamp, right? But it's such a waste of printing power and cardboard. Like, yes, some people love it and it's been part of Magic, but like 99.9% of people just gloss over it and it's the same card as the normal card, right?
No,
oftentimes
it plays
it's cheaper
because
no one wants the stupid
Richard,
wants the stamp obscuring the art.
I will
so
say,
sick.
From the perspective of someone like running a website about Magic or trying to sell Magic cards, I feel like limiting the number of versions is probably a positive. It's already gotten like so ridiculous to try to catalog Magic cards that I feel like maybe losing the stamp is not a big deal. What about the buy a box promo though, Richard? Like, that's just penny pinching, right? Why is this just a way to save $10 like or something for
Did
Hasbro?
You even
like,
get to buy a box if you buy an Amazon or something? This is like a way to support your LGS, right? Because you only get
it.
If
you do, it's bent like diagonally in half.
I feel it's redundant. I'm a wizard shill today. I feel it's redundant, right? Aside from the fact of you taking away something you previously gave, it's a normal bordered card, right? It's not like it's a special treatment that looks exceptional, right? Like if, you know, like, for example, the Infinity Stone. Like, if they gave that treatment to your buy a box promo, you're like, oh, there's a point to it, right? But it's just a normal card, oftentimes of zero value, aside from Nexus of Fate, right? So it's just this extra thing that doesn't add anything, but, like, mechanically, you gotta, like, print these things, you gotta, like, distribute them, you gotta do all this extra stuff, where people really just want the Chase Surge foil in the box or whatever, or, you know, like the actual chase cards of the set, right? The showcase treatments and stuff like that. So I'm all for keeping the buy a box promo, but they need to make them unique. Like, they need to give them like the special treatment. They need to make
unique?
Them like a high value card. No, like the
like a secret lair treatment type thing. Or
like a secret lair treatment, right? Then you're like, oh, I'm excited to get this. Otherwise, it's like, yeah, okay, it's just some card and it comes in this specific distribution channel, so it's going to be worth this much. Usually zero, because usually they're not playable. And then, like, what's the point, right? So, again, I understand people are set because they're taking away something they previously gave, but they gave nothing, and it cost them a lot of money and effort to make it work, right? So you might as well just streamline it. But, yeah, it kind of sucks that they keep taking stuff away from us.
I don't know about that, dude. The Spidey Sense promo with half Peter and half Peter, like the Spider-Man mask, that artwork, that's cool, right?
Although
I mean, like that.
It's fine, although it's still like a 90. I was just looking on TCG Player, like scrolling through all the buy a box promos, and it is like a 99 cent card. Like, there isn't a lot of value here. Like, for someone who buys boxes, it's a nice little bonus, but it's not usually a very big incentive to buy a box. It's not like you're getting this $50 card that really changes the math, especially if you're buying an $800 collector booster box and you're getting a $5 card. It really doesn't make a difference. So I feel like they could have improved it and made it more of an incentive to buy a box. It just feels bad because it feels like something that we did have is getting taken away. Like, so I think that's the part that feels bad. Although I'd be surprised if it actually had like a huge impact on how many boxes people buy, which I guess is probably the bet that Wizards is making, is that this doesn't actually really matter in the long run, but it's still a little sad. But hopefully one
like,
from
like
Eclipse
the stamps
is sweet, at least
with the time and date.
Like
that,
like,
I like, right, guys? I mean,
didn't they go through?
Come on!
I'm gonna buy you a stamp, Krim.
Yes.
Like, you can pretend you drafted at the Pro Tour too. I'll give you the stamp with like the purple heart and the shoe or whatever. You could have been a top 8 player at the Pro Tour. We can put all kinds of crap on your cards if you want.
Speaking of promos, we got our 2026 Magic Con promo. I don't know if you guys saw this card. I don't know what to think. It's Wayfarer's Bauble, which is a playable commander card. In the art, if you're listening to this podcast and not watching it on YouTube, it's like Flibblethip in loot, which in like an orb. What is the blue thing? Do you know what the blue thing in the promo is? Is that like the Aether Spark or something? I don't know if I love this card because it's Flibblethip or hate it because it's loot. Like, what is Wizards trying to do with this promo? Why are we mashing Flibblethip and loot onto the same card?
They're assembling the cute watch. I'm just saying it right now, dude. Fibblethip and loot. Gang's all here. You get, I don't know, like, again, whatever, the one drop might from March of the Machines. They're assembling, dude. They're assembling all the cute little
Fleam
critters.
This could have been a Fleam card.
It could have been
Oh,
Fleam.
My God. Dude, I'm just saying, I think this art is adorable, and I love how like terrifying loot is, like just like lurking over his shoulder, like Fibblethip's shoulder, but in a cute way, like a terrifyingly cute way.
Terrifyingly cute, I guess that does kind of describe loot. Yeah, I mean, I have a Flibblethip, literal Flibblethip commander deck, and I'm torn on if I'm going to put it in. Like, it fits really well because it's Flibblethip, but I can't stand loot, so I don't know if I'd bring myself to do it. So
ultra out the loot.
That's what we were talking about on stream. Like, you know those breakup photos where someone, like, they break up and you see their photos in the house where, like, their ex's faces burn out? I'm just going to, like, burn out the face of loot and just have Flibblethip with, like, a hole in the card. Anyway, that's the promo. This weekend is Worlds. We actually have Worlds this weekend. It's going to be Standard and also Avatar Limited. And I'm really excited for this event because this is the new form of Worlds that has like 130 players in it or something. Not the old school one where you had like 20 players and it was always a weird meta. So this is going to be our first like super high-end look at what Standard looks like. Now that we have Bannings, now that we have Avatar, very excited, also a little scared to see what comes out of it standard-wise. I'm also curious about Limited. I know, Richard, you've been telling me you've been playing some Avatar Limited, and you think the format's actually pretty good, right?
Oh, yeah. My Avatar arc is wild, Seth. So, like, a month ago, I'm like, Avatar sucks, okay? I'll watch it. Season 1.5 seasons in, I'm like, this show is crap. I'm like, I don't know why it is recommending it.
Oh,
then I watched the whole thing, and I'm like, okay. It's like mediocre to slightly above average. It's fine, you know. And then after playing Limited for, I don't know, I've been playing for the last like 2-3 weeks, however long it's been out. I have like 200 games in. That's about a fifth of my Final Fantasy. I played 1,000 Final Fantasy games. I don't know. I was like unemployed. I don't know how I got that much. But now I am the greatest Avatar lover you've ever seen. I've read every flavor text on every card. And I'm all like, oh, yes, Iroh. Yes, yes, yes. Tea leaves. Yes. Right? Like, oh, my God. So it's magic as Chris Cox intended. I'm a huge Avatar fan now. Not off the back of the anime. The anime is still kind of eh. But from playing the set, and the format is so good. I was so like hesitant on it from pre-release and early access, but I think it's better than Final Fantasy. I'm going to say that.
Wow.
A lot of people would disagree. A lot of people are complaining it's too bomby, but I have trophied with like 10 different decks. Like easy, super easy. Like so many archetypes, so many unique uncommons to build around. So I am super hype about Avatar. And I'm gonna watch World, Seth. I never watch Magic Pro Pro coverage, but I just want to see what the pros are cooking. You know, I want to see what they're doing in Limited, not Standard, of course. I don't care about Badger Mole Cub. I want to see what's going on in Limited. So it's a great format. People should try it.
I've heard good reviews from people. Like, I know that I have heard some people complain, like any set, but overall, I feel like people are really coming around on Avatar. Actually, you're the first person I've heard say better than Final Fantasy, but it actually being like a very good format. So I think that's exciting to see them kind of nailing it. Krim, I know you're a Standard player. What do you make of the standard aspect of this event? I'm a little worried that this is going to be like the breakout party of Badger Mole Cub, but do you think there's a chance that Badger Mole Cub is not actually that big of a deal and we see something else, maybe Control or one of these Is It decks, the Boomerang Basic Is It decks or something, Demir, actually end up at the top of the format? What's your expectation for the standard part of Worlds?
I mean, I think everybody's going into this preparing for Badger Mole Cub stuff, right? So
I mean,
that infinite airbending. So now we're going to see the real test of these cards, right? Because with people going in, there's going to be some plans to combat it. Like, I have been playing against it with Control decks, and I don't know, I haven't really had any issues with them. So, but I did notice the issue with Badger Mole decks when I switched to a creature-based deck, but, like, you know, whatever. The main thing here is I'm curious to see how this meta shakes up with everyone having an eye on Badger Mole Cub and the airbending combo. In reality, I could see some humorous part where it's, like, Control or just, like... Is it just like comes out of nowhere?
Is it still?
If it's always wins, do we just ban everything? Do we just ban everything?
Just ban the color combination. Yeah, you can't play red and blue together. It's over.
Because what are the chances, right? Like, I think kind of low. I actually think it's kind of low. But I just think it'd be really funny if it did.
I don't know. Have you seen, like, the new, I guess we're calling it Is It Prowess on the site, but it's, like, the Is It Southbounds with, like, Boomerang Blastics and Splash Portal and Quantum Riddler. Yeah. The deck actually seems pretty sweet. Like, I don't know if it's going to, it seems like the kind of deck that I could imagine the pros playing with, because you get to do all these, like, sneaky lines where you feel really smart about, like, all your decisions that you make, because you get to make all these micro decisions about bouncing your own stuff. So I could see that deck being kind of popular.
Wait.
I think Badger Mole Cub. Oh, go ahead.
Do you think, because of all of this, all the things that we're talking about right now, do you think Saltai Reanimator walks in there, steals games? Because no one's going to be playing like a ton of graveyard hate like they are right now, right?
There is a world where everyone just goes all in on defeating like Badger Mole Cub and then techs for the control decks that are designed to beat Badger Mole Cub, and then Reanimator just like sneaks in and Living Ends everyone. Like, I could see that happening. That is a possibility. So, yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see.
Very hopeful.
Yeah,
we had this conversation with Vivi, remember? We're like, oh, you know, Vivi, it's a known quantity. Now the pros are going to roll up their sleeves. And it was just more Vivi and then mono red. So I don't know. We're going to have to see how it goes, right? Because you're limited. Like, you have to play, I guess, Grixis colors, right? If you're not Badger Moling, like... The only one, so if you're on the draw, the only one mana answers to the Cub come in the Grixis format. So I don't know, man. It's rough. I feel not playing creatures. Well, if you're playing creatures, you're going to play green. So I guess you're playing creatures. So I guess it's fine, right, Krim? And if you don't want to play the Badger Mole Cub, you're not playing creatures. You're playing Bounce or Reanimate or something. So maybe it all just works out. But
I think Demir Midrange
is card
also
is $80 right now. What if it wins Worlds? Is it going to be like $1 million? Like, what is the limit here, Seth?
I mean, this is already kind of pushing the top end for what we see for standard mythics. It has been seen playing older formats too, which helps. I imagine it's also very good in some commander decks, which helps. I don't think it's impossible if we see like... If we see VV numbers, if this actually goes very south on us, and we have a top eight that's like 7 Badger Mole Cub decks, this could be the next like $100 standard card. I don't think it's hopefully what is going to happen. I'm rooting for it not to be, you know, 7 Badger Mole Cub decks in the top eight, but I do think that's a possibility. My question for you guys is, would you buy Badger Mole Cub at $80? Like, let's say you want to play standard. You want to have, you know, the option to play Badger Mole Cub decks. Or maybe you're thinking of playing Yawgmoth in Modern or something. There's also been some Pioneer decks with Badger Mole Cub that have been cropping up that are kind of neat. But would you buy it at $80? Or do you have that, like, the VV fear of, like, this card could end up being too good. In 6 months from now, this could be the card that they're talking about banning or something. Like, would you plunge $350 into a playset of Badger Mole Cubs right now? Or would you pass because you'd be afraid that it could go wrong on you?
Isn't this the WWMD? What would Mengu do? And doesn't Mengu walk around saying buy high, never sell?
That is the Mengu way. That is true, yeah.
There's There's no way, right? Like, this card is, if it wins as much as it does, this is now the next target, right? Everyone's going to ask for bannings. People are already asking for bannings.
I've like, already seen it, yeah.
It's like a week. It's been a week, guys. It's been a week. Give it a second. I mean,
that part kind of reminds me a little bit of, like, Corey Steelcutter, which was a card that I think very quickly people were like, oh, my God, this 2-drop is super broken. At the same time, I think Badger Mole Cub might be safer. It isn't, like, you can cleanly answer it with a removal spell, unlike something like Corey Steelcutter. It is a really fast removal check, though. Like, if you do not have the removal spell on turn 2 to kill Badger Mole Cub, you're going to have a really bad turn 3, and your opponent's going to have a lot of things going on. So it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. I do think there's some chance that it's, like, overhyped, but I also worry that, like, the meta where Badger Mole Cub is in check might not be a meta that people are especially thrilled about, because it might be a bunch of crims just, like, doing crim stuff to keep Badger Mole Cub from popping off. And I'm not sure the average standard player is going to be excited to play against crim decks, like, half the time, so...
Can I just say, Seth, that the latter experience that I've been having in best of 3 and best of 1 has been a lot of control mirrors already.
We're already getting there. Do you think there's a chance
that's why you got to ban the card?
Yeah.
It makes the meta terrible, right? Like, you already see the Reddit threads like, this was my opponent's turn 3. And it's like some like commander looking board, right? You reach the token limit, right? Like, it's... You don't really want to play that, right? And we had an answer for Vivi, remember? It was called Mono Red. That can also kill you on turn 3-4. Like, no one wanted to play against that, right? So are we back to, like, literal win conless control here? Like, do we want to play this? Is this where we want to be? So it's too meta warping, I feel. Like, even if it's quote-unquote okay, I feel that's not... You know, you go to your local FNM, you're like, I'm going to play standard. And then your opponent busts out their $400 of Badger Mole Cubs. And then you get, like, steamrolled 2 minutes into the match. You're like, okay, now what? Like, it's just not the standard experience, right? So I don't know. So we'll see how it shakes up. But there's a world where it's perfectly balanced, but no one wants to play the format, right? Because it's too... high variance. Like, what are you gonna go mull to 5 for your removal? Like, what are you gonna do, mull to 4? Like, you just, like, pray they don't have the cub. Like, it's a game of, like, do you have the cub, do I have the removal? So it's just not that fun. So we'll see how it shakes up, but I don't think you ever want to buy this, right? Because if 7 of 8 decks are Badger Mole Cubs causing the price to be $100, it's going to get banned, so why would you do this? Unless you had an RCQ or some event, right? So the best is Wizards declares they're going to look at Badger Mole Cub in 4 months, effectively killing Standard again for the next 4 months, and then you know not to buy it. Like, oh, this is just so bad. Like, we're in VV territory, I think, right? So, and the only things that beat it will be even more degenerate. Like, that's the problem, right? Yeah. Like, it's so fast that the answers to it will be even more degenerate. Well, so it doesn't look good.
I remember. Oh, go ahead, Grip.
Should I just, like, what I gotta do now is, because Richard's right, all the Reddit threads, oh my God, my opponent shouldn't be able to do this on turn 3. Should I then quote you and then post a photo of, like, what is everybody talking about? It's just an empty board. Because, like, I think...
No, the next round is, I've been in a 50-minute game with this Asian Avenger guy who still hasn't killed me. Like, is this a normal match of Magic the Gathering?
I think this format's fun. I really like this one.
I'm enjoying Standard. I do worry that Badger Mole Cub is going to end up being, like, a kind of a problematic card in the future. One thing I wanted to ask you about Standard, because one thing people keep bringing up, and I'm curious what you think of this, is the issue with Standard is the removal's got to be better. It's got to be better. We need better removal in Standard. Do you think that is true, that Standard needs better removal? Like, would Fatal Push make Standard better, or Lightning Bolt, or Swords to Plowshares? Like, is that where we're at now? Is, like, should we be bringing back some of these, like, greatest of all time style interactive spells because threats are just so good? Or would something like Swords, or I guess Bolt's a little scary because it hits face, but, like, would something like Swords still actually be too good for Standard with our current power levels? Like, what do you guys think of the Standard just needs better removal argument?
As the control player, I absolutely despise Tyvar because he's the only one that can get indestructible. He is the only thing that gives me a problem in that whole deck. So yes, the control player says, yeah, give me swords. In reality, we were just complaining about cutdown. So I do not see a world where this is just the other half, right? Okay, people are like, oh my God, cutdown is not allowing me to play the game. All right, those are the people complaining about when removal is too good. Now that cutdown's gone, everybody's like, wait, I miss good removal. So this is just a never-ending loop, and this is where we get all the power creep creatures, answers, all of that. I don't think we need to get better removal right now. I think the removal right now, as it stands, is solid enough.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. What do you think, Richard?
You already ruined Modern with Fatal Push. Do you need to ruin Standard? Look, we are here because removal was too efficient, right? So now everything has to, like, leave two bodies, has an ETB, and snowball uncontrollably before you fire off your efficient removal spell. So I would actually like to go back to the days of, like, two mana Doomblade, only black gets it. Everyone else has, like, very sus conditional removal. And you can actually play like a 3-mana 4/4 that doesn't ETB and like not get laughed out of the room. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's because removal's so efficient that we have Badger Bowl come. Like, we have these things that have a window to like really explode the game before the removal comes in, right? And it's too much. The format's too fast now, right? And if we give swords to plowshares, then it's all combo decks, right? It's going to be all combo decks. It's good. Like, you can't play any creature, right? Just like you can't play a 4-drop, like, with a straight face in, like, Modern anymore, right? Like, everything just dies immediately to 1 mana, and you just lost 3 mana in the exchange, right? So we can't do it. You don't want Leyline Binding. You don't want Fatal Push, right? You don't want any of these things. You want slow, dirtily removal, and then slow, dirtily threats, so you actually have time to draw your removal and take care of them, right?
I do kind of miss the era where cards like Rox War Monk and Woolly Thactor were, like, playable cards, where you can play, like, a 3-mana, you know, whatever, 3/4 Lifelinker. That's, like, an actual card that you can play. So, yeah, I do kind of miss that era. I do think
era of laughing hysterically when someone played Polukranos. And then you're like, this card is, why would you play this? Okay, I just killed it. So at the same time, please do not make removal so bad that, you know what I mean? Well, okay, please.
And I think compared to some eras of Standard in like the last decade or so, the removal right now is not that bad. Like, yes, it's not like insane. And yes, there's some really good threats right now. But we used to go through some, like, there was a phase when Wizards really didn't like printing interaction. I always remember the, like, the Emrakul, Little Mom Emrakul, Emrakul Promise End Standard, where they literally, there was no graveyard hate in the format. And I don't say that, like, exaggerating. Like, there was not a card that existed in Standard that could exile a card from your opponent's graveyard. So you could just, like, free roll into all this, like, graveyard stuff. So I think our interaction is way better than it has been at various points in the past. What are you playing in your, like, control deck, Scrim, to deal with
Flood Maw?
Oh, Flood Maw.
You have one mana answer anything.
Flood Maw's kind
it's
of...
Not, like, it's so versatile that even against control decks and creatureless decks, it still does something. Like, it's the ultimate, like, egregious card, right? And, like,
blue fatal
what
push.
Do you get? A fish. That's the downside, right? It's like the life gain from Swords to Plowshares, right? Like a laughable downside, right?
I mean, it is funny, though, because I think the stock on Into the Flood Maw is way down since the release of Avatar. Like, yes, it's still, like, a good card, but with Boomerang Basics, I hardly ever see Into the Flood Maw now. Like, I see Boomerang Basics constantly, but I rarely see Into the Flood Maw. But yeah, that is true that it is, like, 1 mana temporarily.
It got even better,
anything.
Seth. You can draw a card if you use it on your whole thing. It's just like more upside, but it's still 1 mana answer anything, right? Yeah. So when you bring in your hate piece, you know, you bring in your High Noon or whatever, it's like, okay, just Flood Maw, kill you, like, cool, right? Like, that's another problem, right? It's too versatile.
So since we're talking about bannings, I gotta ask you about this. So in Modern, Amulet Titan is kind of infamous for always dodging bannings. It's been like a top tier deck in Modern for a decade now. Never really gets targeted by bannings since Summer Bloom in 2016, I want to say 2015. So it's been like a decade. But now people are suddenly talking about needing to ban amulet titan, not because it's necessarily too good, but because it's kind of turned into eggs recently. I don't know if you've seen this, like the current builds of amulet titan are this like infinite loop with aftermath analyst where you go through like this really like long Nadui type loop where you loop all your lands from your graveyard by sacking them to Lotus Field, and then you can use the green land that copies a creature from Modern Horizons 3.
Shifting Woodlands.
Yeah, Shifting Woodlands that you can copy, and then you can Aftermath Analyst again, and you do this to make infinite mana, and eventually, after many, many iterations, you can make infinite Primeval Titans, and it takes forever, and it has tournament issues where if you're doing this during, like, turns, it's like a 30-minute long turn as you go through the loop if your opponent doesn't scoop. So you think we're going to see Amulet Titan actually eat a banning because it kind of accidentally turned itself into eggs and just got way too loopy for Wizards to let it stick around? They were actually during the RCQs last weekend comparing it to Second Sunrise, like the loopy turns, like on coverage, they were talking about how it's very similar. So do you think this will lead to Wizards actually taking action against that deck?
I hope so, because that sounds awful, right? I mean, also, it'd just be nice to take something out of Amulet, right? Because they haven't taken a banning in their deck since, like, what, Summerbloom?
Summerbloom, yeah, and that was a long time ago now.
Oh, man. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, you know what? Why not? And if anything, it makes everyone's lives easier. Coverage, playing, all of it, right?
Yeah.
Why not?
That is true. It does. I mean, they ban top for that reason, right? For slowing things down. They ban eggs for slowing things down. So we do have precedent for decks being banned, not because they're too good, but because they're too annoying for tournament play. But what do you think, Richard? Any shot?
Yeah, I think they'll ban the analyst and then Titan will live on. It's one of those Nadu things, right? Where you can put this like win con in your deck, or you can remove it and do this convoluted thing and you get like an extra few percentage points. So yeah. Make them do it the old way with Valakut, right? You know, like Magic tournaments already have this issue of going to time. You know, like it's so, especially when you play new card games, it's so infuriating to play Magic because every round takes like double the amount of time it should. You know what I mean? Like you finish your match in like 25 minutes, someone's going to take an hour, but then they go to time and then it takes another like 25 minutes or whatever. And then like the whole tournament just like bogs down, right? So anything to logistically make things faster, I think they should do because the tournament experience sucks, right? It already sucks going into a sweaty hall playing for like, you know, a million rounds. Like let's not extend it further by having people take like extra a million years in extra turns, right? So yeah, I think A lot of Amulet players are calling for it too, right? They're just like, I don't want to do this, but because it's optimal, I got to do it.
I got to
right?
do
so
it.
So just
ban
it, and then they'll use the easy win con, right? That doesn't take forever.
I think I agree with that. I would vote ban Lotus Field though. I think Aftermath Analyst is more replaceable because you got Lumra and they're gonna keep printing these effects. So I think Lotus Field would be the card I would go for. But I think that might be a nice middle ground. Like you cut off the eggs loopy turns in those like 30 minutes, you know, destroying the tournament as everyone sits and waits for you to finish your match type of stuff. But you still let Primeval Titan players play their deck, which I mean I would also be fine with them just banning Primeval Titan because I'm kind of annoyed with Primeval Titan. But I think that would be probably like the fairest banning would be to do something that gets rid of the Aftermath Analyst package, but doesn't necessarily take Titan out of the metagame altogether, because I do think there's some argument that we want decks like Titan to exist, as much as it hurts me to say
it's
that.
The last deck, Seth, from pre-Modern Horizons.
This is from the old days. This is before the Modern Horizons. This is one of the only decks that still is going in Modern that existed before Modern Horizons came around. And I don't know if I want to cut that like last link as much as the deck. I don't personally like it that much, but I like that it does connect us to like the old era of Modern. So anyway, I got one more question for you guys. And I've noticed this trend and it's been blowing my mind. So they printed this card called Longshot Rebel Bowman in the Avatar Eternal set, like the Jumpstart cards. And it's this 4-mana uncommon Reacher. This is non-creature. It's a red card. It says non-creature spells cost 1 less to cast. When you cast a non-creature spell, it deals 2 damage to each opponent. This card this week suddenly went up from like bulk to like $8. It was bought out in response to a YouTube short or a TikTok video that was saying that the card was going to be CDH viable apparently for some reason. What do you make of this? I have noticed for the last like 3 months for sure, maybe 6 months, this trend in Magic Finance of people making shorts or TikToks and weird cards that don't look very good to me getting bought out and spiking to insane levels. Is this just like the next iteration of Magic Finance? Like, I feel like TikTok and YouTube Shorts are having the biggest impact on the Magic market right now. And it actually is like really changing things. What do you make of this phenomenon, Richard? Like, is this where we're at with Magic Finance now? You just see a TikTok and buy the card? Seth,
are you forgetting who the originator of the saffron olive effect is? Like, what kind of question is this?
But that was like an hour long Jang Bonk
rare shoots up and you're like, what happened? Well, saffron olive made against the odds video about
this.
True. And then people bought it out. And then media has always influenced magic prices, right? And right now, you know, it happens to be short form content, TikToks, YouTube Shorts, but you know, Command Zone talks about some card and like, bam, it goes crazy, whatever, right? How many stick? I don't know, right? Because they all like spike up and then they all like dwindle back down to nothingness. Sometimes they actually stick though, but I wouldn't be going out and buying this card, especially an untested card in a metagame as tight as CDH. You know, it's like, yeah, this card is legacy playable. Like, have you actually tested it? Right? So, yeah, I don't know this, but this isn't new. This always happens, right?
I don't know why surprise CDH can dictate the price of a card. No offense to CDH players. I just didn't know that like it moved like that. Like, you know what I mean?
I mean, CDH does have influence, I guess. I'm surprised it moved this much, I guess. I just don't see how this card is really CDHable, but I guess that's neither here nor there, really. Like, it's like a random four drop, so that's the part that kind of caught me by surprise. I guess it is, like, the same thing that's been happening before, but just, like, on steroids, sort of, because it's, like, the short-form content, it happens so quickly. Like, I feel like everything's just sped up compared to where it was, like, 10 years ago. But maybe that's just, like, life in general. I guess I would be cautious because, as far as buying the cards myself, because I feel like it's very easy. The same with, I guess, Budget Magic cards a decade ago, where, like, everyone rushes in and buys them out because they're hyped about it, but then 2 weeks later ends up dropping back down. So I do worry that they're long-term, probably not the greatest investment in a lot of cases, but it is interesting to see just, like, how huge of an impact short-form content is having. I know, Krim, have you spiked any cards yet? I know you've been making a bunch of shorts, right? Don't you have a channel now where you make shorts? I randomly got recommended some Krim shorts on YouTube the other day.
I do, but I don't really do finance things. That's the thing. Like, every now and then I talk about cards I like, but I'm never like, this is what you need to buy 10 cards that'll spike. I don't do that, right? But, like, it's like,
most of these TikToks are not doing that either, though. They're mostly just like, hey, this card's gonna be great in CDH, or I really love this card, or here's some like sneaky commander tech that no one has realized. So I haven't seen any that really come with a financial twist to them, which is interesting. I don't think that's the goal, is to increase the price of the cards.
I guess I don't know. I've never really checked. I have no idea what I just talk about cards I like, so I have no idea what that means. And usually, the last time I had anything, I spiked a card, I guess, that I hadn't owned yet. So I was like, dang. Okay, all right, I guess I'll buy it. I do agree. It is really good. Okay. So, like, that would be it.
I remember I used to avoid buying any cards that I made videos of just because I didn't want people to think that there was like a financial aspect to it, or that was part of the purpose of Budget Magic or anything, which is kind of funny. But anyway, let's keep moving. Let's keep moving on. We got a couple fish mail today, starting with a fish mail from @DylanHunter says, MTG Goldfish, are you guys planning to do an end of year podcast where you recap all your hits and misses from the past year or two, because it's been a little while, i.e. Yarion is actually busted, Uro is a bad growth spiral, etc.
Who said that? Did one of us say that?
Who would say something like that?
Oh man, that sounds so outlandish.
I think we'll definitely do a year-end podcast. Exactly what form it'll take, I don't know. It would be kind of fun, though, to go back and do hits and misses. It has been a little while since we've done it.
I think we totally should. So I can figure out who said this.
the dirty secret of that podcast is it just... The hard part is going back and finding all the clips from the past year, because we talk about magic so much. So the hard part's like finding the like Oro's a bad growth spiral clip out of the hours and hours and hours of podcasts that we've done. But it is a really fun way to do it.
just like, you know, knowing circle of loyalty is popping off. We're still, I still believe. What did Richard talk about earlier? We're doubling down. I'm quadrupling down.
We just need to make shorts about it, Krim. We need to make some shorts. We figured it out. Circle of loyalty, CDH, it's coming.
Yeah, it's legal in CDH, guys. It's a legal CDH.
Fishmail number two comes from at Inman Production, says, who do you think gets the better end of the deal? Magic players being introduced and watching the newest IP, aka the Richards of the world watching Avatar for the first time, or the IP fans seeing their show on Magic cards and starting to play Magic? So basically, who wins? Like the Wizards or the other IP holder when it comes down to drawing eyes and attention from universes beyond sets?
I think the latter, right? Because the people that who haven't played Magic and are now seeing their IPs like come to the game, they play the game, they like it, they stay, or like that. Magic players who have already played Magic know how good the game is. So it and like as we're seeing here, you know, like, oh, I know nothing about Star Trek, right? But I'm sure if they're like if that when the set comes out, if there's like a cool card or something, like, hey, that's great. I don't know anything about Star Trek, but I just care about cool cards. So I think the person who cares about the IP coming to the game will benefit more from an IP, and then they'll like the gameplay and they'll stay longer. So I like that. I think they benefit more. Although it is kind of sick when you just I don't know, Magic players who just like Magic get cards all the time. We know this. We all know this. Yeah. So getting new cards is like not anything new crazy anymore. But getting a card that you know and love from an IP you love, now that's sick.
What do you think, Richard?
Yeah. I think Magic players get way more. Like, my two favorite sets of all time are Final Fantasy and Avatar. it would be Spider-Man if not for through the open paths or whatever garbage, right? But like, if you just watched Avatar, right, and that takes you, what, I don't know, like 20 hours or something for the whole thing, how much time are you going to spend playing Magic the Gathering? It takes you, like, 1,000 hours just to, like, be able to sit down at a pod of Commander and, like, do it correctly. You know what I mean? Like, the investment into Magic is so high, whereas the investment for me to watch some Doctor Who or some Star Trek is so low, right? So I feel we get a lot more out of it. And plus, we're not like getting lost in the mechanics and like the rules and stuff. I can actually just enjoy the art of the cards. You know what I mean? I can sit there and read flavor text because I'm not worried about, what is it, untap, upkeep, draw, you know, like what's an instant? Like, I'm not worrying about that. I can just sit there and read flavor text. So personally, the most enjoyable sets for me are the Universes Beyond sets that I really, really like. And the Magic ones are like, okay, like, I mean, Dragonstorm, fine, you know, like it was okay, right? I'm sure Lorwyn Eclipse will be fine, right? The question is what happens when Star Trek happens, right? Because I'm not a big Trekkie, and I did not play Edge of Eternities because I didn't like the space theme, but will I actually watch some Star Trek, like, for reals and, like, play it? I don't know, but I will try. And, like, what more could, like, the owners of Star Trek want, right? For me to try. And it's just easy to do, right? I just put it on Netflix or whatever, put it at 2x, 4x speed. But to pick up a whole new game, to drop like $500 on a standard deck to go to FNM, that's a lot of work. And I don't know that most people would do that just to, you know, partake in their favorite IP or whatever, right?
It's fair, yeah. Actually.
I want to say it's actually like kind of a win-win, and that everyone's in a weird way, except for the people who hate Universes Beyond, but everyone else is like coming out ahead in this exchange, because I know I would have never watched Avatar if it wasn't for it being Universes Beyond set, and I actually really enjoyed Avatar, and I'm glad that I invested the time to watch it, and I never even would have thought to watch Avatar if it wasn't a Magic set. But that was a pretty easy commitment, like Richard was saying. Like, I can throw it on, watch it X2 speed when I'm going to bed at night or whatever, and just, like, watch a show that way. Getting into Magic is a much bigger commitment, financially, time-wise. But at the same time, I think a Magic player has got to be worth way more than me watching Avatar, because what am I really contributing to Avatar, whoever makes it, by just watching the show? I'm sure they get something out of me watching it on Netflix, but not that much. So yeah, I'm sure there's less people brought into magic by the Universes Beyond because it's a bigger commitment, but each one of those people are going to be way more valuable to Wizards than me watching Avatar is to Nickelodeon or whatever. So I think everyone comes out ahead here. I think it's like actually a win-win and actually kind of a good exchange for everyone, except for the people who are just hard-nosed on Universes Beyond. Those are the only people I think that really kind of get left out in this this exchange. Otherwise, I think it's just good for everyone, really. Anyway, those are fish mail for today. Richard, how do people send in fish mail for future episodes?
Hit us up at MTGWorldFish with the hashtag MTGFishMail, and we'll get to your questions on air.
And I believe also, that Marine... Oh, go ahead, Grim.
Before we wrap, I just want to say, Richard, I see you with the Turbo Granny shirt. I see you. I see you with I've been on the front of my brain. I'm like, yo, that's sick.
Talk about anime I would recommend. Avatar does not fall anywhere on that list, but Dandadan? Yeah, let's go.
On that note, that brings us to the end of episode 564 of the MTG Goldfish Podcast. So Richard Grimm, thanks for hanging out. Thanks everyone for listening. Thanks to our sponsors for supporting the show. And we'll be back next week to talk about Worlds and whatever else goes on in the world of magic. So until then, have an amazing week, everyone. And this is the crew signing out.